Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Waste Matters on the Air, the show that delves into issues around waste and how to prevent it. I'm your host, Beth Myers-Shinai, a waste reduction coordinator with Marion County Environmental Services, and I'm here in the studio today with my guest, Jane Posner, with Pringle Creek Community, a sustainable development in South Salem. Before I get to our conversation with Jane, let's just go over a couple of announcements. And the first one is that there's going to be a household hazardous waste collection event coming up in Woodburn next month. And that will be on Saturday, September 27th. So that's going to be in the Walmart parking lot in Woodburn from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And it's co-sponsored by the City of Woodburn's Public Works Department. So if any of our listeners out there in the North County have problems getting to the facility that's down outside of the Salem area, this might be the one for you. So make sure you save that date and gather up the things that you don't need anymore in your garage, under your sinks. Get them out of the house. Keep your home safe and keep the earth safe by making sure they get disposed of properly. Again, that's Saturday, September 27th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the Woodburn Walmart parking lot. And for residents not in Woodburn, again, we do have a facility where you can drop that off for free every Thursday from 8 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. and the first and third Saturday of the month from 8 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. And as we delve into some current topics, I always like to kind of look into the topic we're going to be discussing with our guest today. So I'd like to just talk a little bit more about green communities in general and what makes a community green. Of course, green is kind of a hot buzzword now. So it can be used to greenwash and make something look more environmentally friendly or sustainable than it really is because they just use the word green in front of it. So I was kind of asking myself the question, what makes a community green? And there seems to be a lot of interest in improving the image of home sales and developments by making sure that homes and those developments are built to green standards, which is good. It's definitely a move in the right direction to have more homes that are built with energy efficiencies and low impacts in mind. But is that really a green community, a housing development of just homes where everyone is pretty much functioning the same way and they've drive into their garages every day and out of their garages every day and off, you know, for an hour commute into work? Or is that really what it is? So looking a little bit more in how other communities have tried to improve their sustainability or their true greening, and we'll definitely, the example that we're going to talk about in Pringle Creek Community, we'll definitely talk about how they go beyond just the green homes within the area. Another type of community that has been kind of growing slowly but steadily out there is co-housing communities, which people live in an intentional way of sharing common resources within the community as much as possible, but maintaining individual homes with all the normal things you'd expect in an individual private home. So I'll be interested in just hearing how Pringle Creek Community might differ from co-housing, where I guess you could think of it as belonging to a homeowners association, but you're required to participate in it if you live in that community. And you share some resources like having community meals once in a while, sharing the tool shed is shareable by everybody. A lot of shared responsibilities and shared resources go into a co-housing community. And that that act of sharing and lessening the number of things you personally need to consume is a pretty green way of living as well. So those communities often have sustainable features built into the homes and the landscaping, as well as facilitating a lot of interaction and sharing among the residents in those communities. And if you are interested in making your own community green, and a lot of times the best option is reusing what you got, making what you've got better. In a few cases, like maybe energy intensive appliances, reusing what you got may not be the best thing. It might be better to go get the newest thing. But in terms of community, trying to see what you can do to make where you live better is a great option. And I found a wonderful resource on the EPA website, and it is, it's a toolkit for taking you through a whole process of looking at the existing resources in your community, thinking about where you'd like to go, and ideas on how to get there. And it looks like this toolkit could help you in your existing community as it is to improve, or maybe if you're all thinking about a master planned community ahead of time, like a co-housing project or a sustainable community like Pringle Creek Community, this toolkit might be something to help get you started. And you can find that at epa.gov/greenkit. So I didn't have time to browse through the entire site, but it seemed to have a lot of great resources and just pose a lot of good questions to be thinking about to make your own community greener. And when I use the term greener, I'm thinking of the broad umbrella of sustainability and not just specifically energy reduction or any other one little item that might let you use that buzzword. And of course, even if you aren't looking at this as a large holistic project, you can always implement ideas in your own community that move you a little bit closer one at a time. And swap meets are a good example. You could arrange a swap meet where people can bring out all the stuff they don't want one day in their community and see what other people have and just trade stuff around so you don't have to go out and buy a bunch of new things. Repair cafes are starting to take hold, where people who love to tinker with things volunteer to just take people's stuff that needs repairing. Maybe it's sewing or small appliances or any number of things, a lawnmower. You might be able to find someone who can fix what you've got and keep it going for a while. There are tool libraries, similar to what I was talking about in co-housing, where a community maintains a library of things that you only need to use once in a while so people can check them out and check them in. Even a little community project like stenciling your storm drains, when you're getting together, making these small improvements, they're all a positive step towards greening your community. One more thing I want to talk about, and I think that this dovetails just a little bit with some things that are happening at Pringle Creek Community. A lot of people are familiar with LEED, the Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design certification that certifies buildings and homes in many different ways as green. But there's another certification that actually is my personal favorite, and I like to keep up on it as much as I can, and that's the Living Building Challenge. And I believe that Pringle Creek Community has achieved some measure towards the Living Building Challenge with one of their facilities, maybe more. We'll get to find out from Jane in just a minute. The Living Building Challenge awards different types of development or buildings petals. And each petal represents another part of a kind of a holistic way of looking at using the places that we use, structures and homes. And the petals are place, water, energy, health and happiness, materials, equity, and beauty. So this brings a few more ideas that we might consider a little more esoteric into the picture, but it really is trying to see what kind of quality of life people who use these facilities are living. And it's not awarded until after the building has been in operation for a while to ensure that it's really operating and is deserving of these measures. So with that little opening and maybe a little teaser, because Jane knows a lot more about this than I do, I'd like to introduce Jane Posner. She's the general manager of Pringle Creek Community. Welcome, Jane. Thank you for coming in today. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. And thank you for letting me be here.
Oh, absolutely. I can't wait for everyone to kind of learn more about your community, because it is a great model and a great place for people to know about in Salem. So can you kind of explain to us in a nutshell, first of all, what Pringle Creek Community is?
I think the best description of Pringle Creek Community is that it's an intentional community devoted to sustainability. And by that, I mean that from the very inception of Pringle Creek Community, it was planned to be a sustainable mm-hmm. community. And the development has progressed and is maintained in a sustainable manner. So some of the features that went into the planning would be the paving throughout the community mm-hmm. is pervious paving and bioswales at all the intersections. are plant materials, native plant materials that will help absorb rainwater. So between the pervious paving where rainwater perks through the paving and the bioswales, we handle all our stormwater on site.
So you're not going to see storm gutters.
We're not going to see any
storm drains and
or stencils.
Or stencils, right.
So no, we don't.
Although
we don't
in that case,
them.
The dump no waste drains to stream applies to every square inch of the
Absolutely.
Property in one way.
Absolutely. Yeah. We are part of the old Fairview Training Center campus. Mm-hmm. And when the Fairview Training Center was closed back in 2000, a group of investors purchased the land and decided that it should be developed sustainably. And they got the very best minds together to decide what that looked like and develop the Fairview Master Plan. Mm-hmm. They also realized that it was a very big job, and one of the investors said, let me take the north 32 acres and do this just as we planned. And so Pringle Creek Community is the full realization of the Fairview Master Plan. And in addition to that, we have in our CC&Rs, or Conditions, Covenants, and Restrictions, the requirement that all the homes be built to LEEDs standards.
Okay.
And so we do use the LEED model, mm-hmm. which is a third-party rating system, to ensure that the homes are built in a sustainable way with sustainable materials and then perform both energy efficiently and with durable materials mm-hmm. in a way that is sustainable.
Is LEED certification now include some performance
Absolutely.
Post-construction
Absolutely.
Performance measures now?
I don't really it's post-construction because they do blow testing to
okay.
make sure that the...
But not necessarily post-occupancy after a certain amount of time or...
No, but we have found with all our buildings that the energy consumption in the buildings follows what the predictions
okay.
of the LEED certifications are. All the homes and commercial buildings that we have in the community not only have to meet the LEED certification, we all rate either gold or platinum, so
okay.
at the highest two levels.
Wonderful.
So we're very proud of that. Another sustainable function that we've incorporated into much of the community is we've isolated a well from the Fairview site that we circulate through the streets, and that well has water that's ground source water is at a constant 55 degrees year round, and we are able to tap into that source of water, harvesting energy to heat and then running it in reverse to cool our homes.
Okay.
So it's an extremely energy efficient method to heat and cool.
And is that a closed loop? So it's not actually depleting that water in
correct.
Any way, it's just
correct.
Circulating it, and that temperature helps moderate both heating and cooling.
Exactly.
As it goes around.
Yeah. The ground source water is always the same temperature.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have water furnaces.
Right.
And those use a small amount of refrigerant but harvest energy to heat and then take energy from the air and inject it back into the water mm-hmm. To cool. So, as I say, it's very efficient. It's rated about 400% more efficient than the highest efficiency gas furnace.
Wow.
So they're very economical.
And so anyone who is building there has access to tap into
yes.
that system on
yes.
any of the lots that are
mm-hmm.
that are there.
About half our campus has availability
okay.
for the geothermal. Another large portion of our campus is on a beautiful southwest facing slope and is available for for solar.
Oh,
and
yes.
so that's our net zero area. So the homes in that area are planned to be able to capture solar and thereby providing the energy they need to operate over the course of the year.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. About how many households are currently built out on the development?
There are 10 homes right now. We have 8 of them occupied. One is currently for sale, and the other is a community amenity. Again, this is a sustainable feature
mm-hmm.
that it's our guest cottage.
Okay.
And the idea with this is that homes are often built with that guest bedroom, which is an underutilized space or becomes a storage space, junk room. Mm-hmm. And if you can eliminate that from the home and say when you need a guest space, we have a whole cottage that's available for the guests. So it's much more comfortable and much better utilization of that resource.
So smaller homes overall, so they don't have to incorporate that function once in a while.
Exactly.
That's great. And so you started by describing some of the key, especially the LEED designed homes and the geothermal system, but there's a lot more to sustainable community than just those energy pieces. You want to talk about some of the other features you've got going on there?
Sure. When we are fully built out, 35% of our space will be shared green spaces, mm-hmm. and I think this is really critical. The yard that I personally, as a resident, am responsible for is very small, and so I don't have yard work, but I do have the opportunity to use the shared garden space. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of orchards and berry patches that are already in and maturing, and so we have the availability to harvest fruit from our living lands or our edible landscape. We also have community gardens and refurbished glass houses. So we have two Lord and Burnham glass houses on the property that have been refurbished, and we now have activated them and are growing wonderful stuff. We can year-round garden in them, and they're just verdant and bursting with beautiful produce right
now. And
they're
just beautiful themselves to look at, too.
Yes.
They're like beautiful sculptures on the property.
Yes.
And they provide... They're useful.
Yes. Yes.
That's one of my favorite things is to go peek in the greenhouses, glass houses.
We do try to always call them glass houses. Mm-hmm. First of all, they are made out of glass rather than the traditional greenhouse people think now of hoop houses with plastic.
Right.
So they truly are glass houses. And to distinguish that, all our homes and houses at Pringle Creek Community are green.
Right.
So not using greenwash, but truly are green homes. And so we like to have that distinction of calling our glass houses just that.
Excellent. Anything else? Like, I know that there's some interesting composting projects going on there.
This is kind of fun. We have what we call dirt works.
Uh-huh.
And all the food waste and peelings, the vegetable peelings, the leftovers, anything that is not usable from our waste stream that is compostable, both from the cafe and from resident families, are collected in front of one of the glass houses. And then we have a system where we actually run it through a garbage disposal mm-hmm. into a pail. So we have the vegetable leavings are turned into a slurry.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have five bins that those are turned into, and they're actively turned every day. So the composting process is very, very fast.
Mm-hmm.
And when we take one of those five bins and quit adding new material to it, the composting process is completed in a couple of weeks.
Wow.
So we keep all the food waste and vegetable fruit leavings, peels, on site and turn them into compost that is then used in the gardens on site. We've been actively doing this program for about a year and a half. We have diverted over 2,500 pounds of compostables.
Over a ton
has been kept on site rather than leaving the property through the
municipal solid waste
exactly
system.
And turned that into usable compost that is then turned back in to make our gardens so lush and green.
Great. Well, I'm going to take a quick pause in our conversation.
Okay.
We're going to do a public service announcement, and then I want to come back, and maybe we won't have time to kind of go into detail and all the other things, but I know there's a couple of other really interesting features to your community,
okay.
and we'll talk about those a little bit more. So our announcement today People of all ages are invited to a display of stringed puppets from the 1930s through the 1980s at the Albany Public Library and the Carnegie Library. The puppet characters include Clippo the Clown, Buckaroo Bill, Sagebrush Sal, and several familiar-looking movie stars. The puppets will be on display in July and August. For more information, email doris.hicks@cityofalbany.net or call 541-791-0015. Okay, now we're going to go back to our conversation with Jane Posner, who's the general manager of Pringle Creek Community, Sustainable Development in South Salem. And Jane, can you just maybe list a few more interesting features, and then people will have to be maybe lured to come visit you to see a little bit more detail. But I know you've got a few more things going on besides the composting and the green homes and the geothermal system.
We also have a community center that is one of our rehabilitated buildings. Again, it's from the 1930s, called Painter's Hall, and the community center serves just as that. We also run a cafe out of the Painter's Hall. Mm-hmm. This building is a net zero energy building, so we have a solar array that actually produces more energy than it uses over the course of the year, to the tune of surplus to that would provide energy to run two homes in Salem.
Wow. So that's itself significant. Plus two other
exactly.
Homes.
That building has some wonderful, unique things about it. We also harvest rainwater for flushing the toilets. We have a net zero, a zero waste policy. Mm-hmm. And with this, we reuse, recycle, everything. So all our dishes we have full dishes, glassware, silverware, so we don't have any single-use items. We have to-go boxes that are plastic, and people would pay a deposit on them. So we're really encouraging people to stay and enjoy the ambiance of having a meal with us. But if they really need to go, we have to-go boxes that are a deposit, and then they bring them back.
Or they could be forewarned to bring their own container
exactly.
if they don't want to deal with the deposit
We also have Painter's Hall as an event venue that the public can rent. Uh-huh. And again, with our zero waste, that we reuse, recycle, or compost everything that comes through that building. Another feature of the community is that it's a very walkable mm-hmm. space and bikeable. We have bikes that are available to use for free when someone's on the campus and wants to explore a little bit more quickly, or just enjoy a bike ride in this beautiful summer weather.
So one of my follow-up questions here was how accessible the community is to the public. And it sounds like it's open. This isn't a gated community.
No.
It's not, just a neighborhood where you might get funny looks if you were walking around and not recognized as one of the neighbors. You want people to come and
We want people to come and visit the glass houses and come through them. We have an urban farmer whose responsibility is to care for the glass house and the community gardens, and she loves to have people come and just wander through and see the wonderful things that she's growing. And a lot of them are very unusual
uh-huh.
that aren't seen in a lot of places, even though they're heirloom variety products. One of the fun things this year she's growing are ground cherries.
Oh, yes.
So people need to come and experience a ground cherry.
I have a CSA share, so I pay to have a farmer grow a little bit of uh-huh. food for me, and my daughter loves the ground cherries. They're like candy for her.
Exactly. We also have community chickens. We have community beehives. Again, it's the whole community gathers together to care for the chickens, and then we share those eggs.
Mm-hmm.
We're waiting for our first harvest of honey this fall.
Oh, that'll be
as well.
Fun.
Yeah.
Are there any events or projects coming up that you want to let people know about?
Yes, we've got a couple of things. There is so much bounty coming out of the glass houses that it's available for sale both in the cafe. Mm-hmm. We've got a little harvest stand there, but we're also going to be starting a community-wide CSA on a very small basis. But we have several people who haven't chosen to be in a normal CSA because the volume is overwhelming.
Yes.
So we can tailor make the volume for those residents uh-huh. who would only be wanting to have smaller portions. In later this month, we will be in the Pairings, which is a feature at the Oregon State Fairgrounds the week before the Oregon State Fair. Where some of our the creations of our Chef Dave are going to be featured paired with a local vintner.
Oh, nice.
At the Pairings.
That sounds like fun.
And one of the things that we're most excited about is that in the next 6 months we'll be breaking ground on four, definitely, and maybe a fifth home.
Oh,
and
wow.
And four of those homes will be solar. Uh-huh. So we're really excited about
and
that,
And are these already planned occupants' homes? Are these going to be built out and offered for sale?
Both.
Okay.
We have a combination.
Yeah. So what are the hours of that? Of the cafe.
The cafe operates 9 to 2 Monday through Friday, and breakfast is served from 9 to 11, and then lunch from 11 to 2.
Okay. And so can people arrange for tours if they're not, you know, coming just during cafe hours where they might be wandering? Is there a way to get a larger tour of the features of the
Sure. I mean, we're very flexible about
okay.
that. We love to show off our community and talk about the community and have people be more mindful. I mean, that's what the crux of this community is mm-hmm. being more mindful of the way they live.
Okay.
And just some of the features that come through when somebody's able to walk around and tour. We love to show the guest cottage if it's not occupied and the house that's for sale.
Mm-hmm.
So, and people can come anytime.
Okay. Yeah. So can you describe exactly where it is? We kind of mentioned that it was on the old Fairview complex, but not everyone's
sure.
going to know exactly where that is. How would they find
the one of the landmarks that's very close is the Hoop, and a lot of people know that. So we're just behind the Hoop.
Okay.
But if
well, that's
people
off
aren't,
Fairview Industrial.
Fairview
Drive.
Industrial. So if people know where the Madrona and Fairview Industrial area mm-hmm. is in that corner.
Near Gilgamesh
yeah,
Brewers, which is another
right,
kind of
that's another
of
landmark.
Know.
So if you turn south onto Fairview Industrial Drive, the very first right is
okay.
Lindbergh. And if you turn into Lindbergh, then and that's also Old Strong, towards Old Strong Road. Or,
right.
And then we're right back there, turn into the community and come and drive around and check us out.
Yeah, and you'll see Painter's Hall in the Event Center yes. shortly after you turn
yes.
in and start driving in.
Oh, and the glass houses. I mean, the Painter's Hall is kitty corner to the glass houses, and that's something that you can't miss
right.
and shouldn't miss.
Do you have a website and a phone number maybe you want to share with listeners?
We do, and the website's easy. It's pringlecreek.com.
Okay.
And the phone number is 503-315-1055.
Okay. So if you're ready to go, check out this community. Make sure you come on over or come to the
yeah.
cafe for lunch or contact a staff member before if you'd like to have a little bit more guided tour around maybe.
Sure. And we also have a walking tour.
Oh, yes.
And that is a self-guided. There are walking tour brochures and our kiosk right at the main intersection of the community.
Mm-hmm.
And people are more than we're happy to have people come around and do the self-guided tour,
mm-hmm.
stop in. I'm often in Painter's Hall on the weekends
okay.
and love to have people just drop
okay.
in.
And are there any community events coming up?
We have events all the
okay.
time.
Okay, I just want to make sure we're not missing any good one just on the horizon here. So is there anything else you want to add? We're kind of running out of time, so we've got to wrap it up. But if you've got any one last thing you want to say, or we can just finish
up. I'm just going off my down my list, and we didn't have a chance to talk about green roofs and detached garages and how that comes into play, and the living challenge. Mm-hmm. Or the living challenge, or
the living building,
yes. Challenge. Painters Hall has been awarded that.
Wonderful. And that means you have the full number of petals needed to have the full award for that type of building?
I have to apologize. I do not know.
Okay, that's
the answer to that.
Any level of that challenge. And I think that you guys have achieved a little bit more than just
one. I do believe so as well.
All right. Well, Jane, thank you so much for taking some time and coming by to talk about this community day, because it's really a jewel of a resource, and I don't think enough people know about it yet. So thanks for coming and championing it and letting people know.
Thank you.
And as we wrap up today, I want to remind you that we have another show coming in 2 weeks on Thursday, August 28th. My guest will be Tyson Kiever, who's the president and CEO of Sequential Pacific Biofuels, who make biodiesel right here in Salem. And he'll be taking us into that fascinating world of making biodiesel from used vegetable oil. Remember that we'd always love to hear from you. You can contact us at environmentalservices@co.marion.or.us and look us up on Facebook and YouTube at Marion County Environmental Services. Goodbye, everybody.